Chapter 37, Complacency 2024. I assure you that when I start every Wednesday morning, that voice comes in my head that this is not necessary. This is not necessary. Simply tend to the business of structuring companies and call it a day. Always, this is it. Always, this comes against me. I assure you that, as that song says, what the next thing that happens when that comes in my head is, as there was a song, Waymaker. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. But the bridge of that song is, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop, you never stop, you never stop working. That's truth, man. That's truth. Chapter 37, Complacency 2024. Complacency is a problem. Scripture talks about it. Certainly not in a good light. Up front, none of us would ever admit to being complacent. We might say, I need to get back to the gym or the diet, a midweek Bible study or the something. I got to get back to. Is that complacent or is it just lazy? Or are they the same thing? Complacent for me is not lazy. Maybe I'll come to it someday, but at the moment it's not lazy. It's actually a verb for me, a decision to do a non-action action, an option chosen, if you will. Yeah, right, a verb. I chose this. And in the context of 37, I think something is okay not to do. I choose not to do it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You've heard that before. Does that mean if the car is running right, why change the oil and filter as directed by the manufacturer? You can see there could be problems. In complacency, priorities generally have to do with what I'm forced to do. If I don't want to pay taxes, I just don't. I'll catch up to it later, as the saying goes. Till it does, catch up with me with penalties and interest, right? If I want a successful business or a healthy body, am I willing to commit or just wait until none of my clothes fit and then better tailoring could be an option rather than correct physical habits, right? Better bodies through tailoring, right? Perceptions, perspectives, opinions, and a whole lot of complacency. Sometimes complacency even comes with a little extra twist, doesn't it? A little extra panache might sound like this. I deserve blah, 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 blah. Complete the sentence with something dumb, right? I might even relabel it. Rest, enjoy life. You only live once. Everybody does it. Who says it ain't right? I don't agree with the rules. That's a very dangerous one right there. I don't agree with the rules. Everybody thinks it's, a rebel. So awesome. Against the system. Yeah. Yeah, make sure you're against the correct system as a rebel, right? At the end of the day, complacency yields nothing good. I've often said if the enemy can't make you sin, he'll stagnate you. Is stagnant a sin? Zephaniah 1:12, it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and I will punish the men who, like old wine, are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Oh, that's incorrect there, right? Zephaniah calls it square. Those people that are stagnant, they don't think God is really doing anything. Oh, that is an incorrect way of thinking about it. Scripture calls it out right here. Kind of looks like stagnant here is not a good thing in the Amplified Bible. In the New King James, complacency is in the place of stagnant. The word complacency is in the place of stagnant. So it would appear to me that complacency and stagnant are the same thing. What is this thing, complacency? Where does it come from? Well, I know this. It doesn't come from God, that's for sure. That leaves a no-brainer as to where it does come from. William Gurnall is known by his book, Christian in Complete Armor, published in three volumes, dated 1655, 1658, 1662. It is a writing for the Christian spiritual battle. You know, I quote these a lot, and I think nobody's going to go back and look at it. Once in a while, somebody will call me up and say, hey, I did look up Gernal, I did. And I did look up the quote, 1658. That guy had some great stuff to say. And here, I hear that once in a while. Consider that, my friends. What you're getting here on this phone is very pertinent information. It's very good. In any case, I quote Gernal. This is what he says. The devil has more temptations than an actor has costumes for the stage. And one of his all-time favorite disguises is that of a lying spirit. To abuse your tender heart with the worst news he can deliver, that you do not really love Jesus Christ, and that you are only pretending, you are only deceiving yourself. That temptation would inspire complacency for sure. Why do anything now that I've been presented with that lie, right? I just completely depleted of wanting to do anything, right? But don't be deceived. Billy Graham, in his film, An Extraordinary Journey, spoke clearly on the topic. Don't think of Satan as a harmless cartoon character with a red suit and a pitchfork. He is a very clever and powerful. And his unchanging purpose is to defeat God's plans at every turn, including his plans for your life. What do I do to stop complacency in me? Well, first I see the signs. If I don't pay attention to my business, I start losing ground. If I don't pay attention to my health, I get sick. If I don't pay attention to my taxes, I eventually get popped and surely at an inconvenient time, right? If I don't pay attention to common sense, I'll get stupid, and stupid is very, very expensive. Long story short, as soon as I see in any area where I have been remiss, it's best to act quickly and shore it up. However, in this chapter, complacency, it's not so easy, because in complacency, I don't feel like acting quickly, so I probably won't. Why? Because complacency always has a good excuse or a reason for being dumb. Sometimes a very twisted phrase can even sneak up on me. Maybe it was meant to be this way. Dumb. Dumb. But you can't tell that when you're locked up in complacency. Twisting up your head that wrong is right can't be good, but you can't see it in complacency. God gives us scripture to move forward, not backwards, to grow, not destroy, to complete, not to leave undone. Revelations 3, 7, 8. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Well, keep that in mind, because again, complacency is a tough taskmaster. In 37, the devil seeks to destroy all of it by utilizing this complacency thing, ceasing to care, stagnant, willfully irresponsible, completely dead and yet still conscious. Proverbs 21, the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. That's very good. The righteous give everything. The righteous, when you're in a righteous mind, you give everything. When you're not, you want more, you just don't want to do anything about it. Kind of like entitlement, right? The more I try to behave, the more options to misbehave present themselves. We all know that one, right? I get very busy with everything except what I should be doing. And I got a lot of reasons why I shouldn't do that, because I'm busy. Unfortunately, when complacency wins, what could have been may never be. Let me say that again. Isn't that terrible? Complacency wins, what could have been may never be. My born-again opportunity set aside to instead focus on what? Useless matters? Oh, my goodness. When I'm facing complacency, that would argue with me. What are you saying? I'm doing all kinds of important stuff. Hey. Paul said it pretty good. Romans 7, 19, 20. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So apparently, complacency is a sin. Great, great, great. So what do I do? What do I do when I'm doing what I know I shouldn't do? Or I'm not doing what I know I should do? It's an age-old problem, isn't it? It's been happening for a long time. It's called temptation. What's the solution? Well, if you're fast on the draw, you can take Jesus as an example. Matthew 4, 10, 11. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Albert Einstein said, "The world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who can't do anything about it." Becoming cozy with complacency and compromise is one of the mindsets and attitudes that we must resist and overcome. Pretty good quote. Complacent has never been accused of creating anything beautiful. So what's the result? Failure in everything, period. All or nothing, you might ask. Yeah, all or nothing. All or nothing. When God thinks, what does God think about all or nothing? What does he think about that? Well, I looked it up, Revelation 3:16. "So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Holy Toledo, Batman! All or nothing, you might ask. Yes, all or nothing. What does God think about that? Revelation 3:16 is so incredibly clear. "So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Kids, right now the enemy is in my head saying, "Nobody's listening, nobody cares, this isn't real. I mean, there's very few people aren't going to be Christian anymore. They're just not doing it. It ain't happening." It's in my head right now. It's in my head right now. So what do I do with it? I got to move, man. I got to move in the spirit. Luke 16:9-11. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Get up and move. Teach it, brother. Complacency is a process. I don't wake up with it one day. It requires commitment, doesn't it? Kind of like an alcoholic. You got to commit to it, right? To really be a good alcoholic, you got to drink every day. You got to be committed like an idiot. I got to work at it, cultivate it, pathetically giving away my responsibilities a little at a time. All in the name of good or whatever ridiculousness I've come up with, right? Complacency is a tough task. Master, it comes from the enemy himself. Movies and television recently are depicting Lucifer as a hero. Just a tough guy, got a couple of bad shakes, made a few mistakes. Why doesn't God just forgive him? Don't be fooled, kids. Don't be fooled. God knows what he's doing, and so does Satan. Lucifer, Satan, is a very evil thing, a very powerful evil thing. Not to be confused with anything other than catastrophic horror who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as Scripture says. And I would say it starts with complacency. Matthew 7:26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Oh, Scripture calls it, man. Scripture calls it. Scripture calls it. Scripture calls it. This complacency problem is with believers and non-believers alike. Hey, really, both of us. And as a believer, it's worse. In complacency, I'm as guilty as any atheist, antagonist, altruist, agnostic, goofball, Martian, wacko, Republican gone bad, Democrat gone bad, independent gone bad, you name it. All of us susceptible to this awful thing in 37. It's not a virus, but it can infect your whole life. And as a believer, I can incorrectly verify this thing as waiting on God. and even in a disastrous headspace, testify that I prayed about it. Oh yeah, I can validate complacency. As a believer, it's worse. As a non-believer, they just say, I don't care. Here, I can say it's in God's name. Well, the scripture doesn't work for me all the time. Oh yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Oh yes, it does. It's alive. It's not just print on a page. It's alive. Quit acting like it's not. Quit acting like scripture didn't do it for me, or scripture said it this way or that way. Quit acting like God supports you in your extremely wrong option. I'm not saying that anybody on this phone is doing it. I'm saying these are the tools I'm trying to set you up for, because it will come to haunt you. It will test you. It will be a part of what can bring you down if you let it. There is correctness standing by for all of us, standing by to deploy every day. Correctness is standing by. God, righteousness is standing by. Get with it, man. Get on it. Throw away this nonsense when it comes on your desk. Ezra 10:4, arise, arise. Isn't that a great word? Arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. Wow, what a great phrase. Arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. Wow. So I should just do what I don't want to do? I should just do what I don't want to do? Is that what you're telling me? I should just do what I want to do? What if I want to do it? What happens if I don't? How do I say that? I was like, so I should just do what I don't want to do. Yeah. Don't do that. What happens if I do? Proverbs 1:31, 33. They will eat the fruit of their way and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Wow. So I should just do what I don't want to do. Complacency. Complacency. Did you see what it said there? The complacency of fools will destroy them. Wow. Winston Churchill once said, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Listen, learn, and then get up and do. Having said that, can you get up? Under this problem in 37, can you get up? Generally, that's the problem. Like being a drunk, right? Under the influence of alcohol, one thinks they can drink. That leads to debauchery, doesn't it? Same thing here. Under the influence of complacency, one thinks all kinds of stupid. So what do I do in the face of complacency? How do I interrupt this terrible taskmaster? How do I overcome when it happens or when I think it's happening? Could I pray? Yes. Read the book? Yeah, okay. Good. Does it work? Not all the time. Why? Why? That's always the solution. Read and pray. Why? What do you mean it won't work? Complacency blocks the way to prayer sometimes, doesn't it? To reading. It blocks the way to working. It blocks anything good, really. What do I do? What do I do? Give me the answer, Patrick. What did you do? What have you done? What'd you do, Patrick? Did it work? What did you do? Well, obviously you're on the phone, so something works. So what is it that you did? I have learned from this awful chapter that it'll never go away. It's always there waiting for me. And when smitten with it, the challenge is huge. So this is what I have for you. It'll be a little bit challenging to embrace, but I got to try. I got to tell you what I got to do when this happens. I, Patrick, have to want more than anything in the world, more than anything in the world, to give to God what is his. And if I belong to him, I want to give him the very best me that is humanly possible. I gotta want me as he made me more than I want complacency. I gotta want God more than complacency. I gotta force myself to want what God wants for me more than complacency. And I can only do all of that, or any of that, with him standing by me. However, that means I gotta get out of my dead head and get up, stand up by him. My only insurance, as stated in 36, I better know the God in the Bible, because that's the only one that can help. God the Father, the Son, and the risen, God the Father and the Son, the risen King, the Holy Spirit, as written in New King James, here on my desk. God the Father, the Son, and risen King, Holy Spirit, as written in New King James, here on my desk. There is no room for an imposter, a false representative, an incomplete concept, a borrowed one-dimensional nothing belonging to whispers I heard or something I've seen in the media, definitely not one I made up or one I sold short or one somebody else gave me. For the promises to work in my life, it has to be the God in the Bible who actually made the promises to save me and you. That God, that one true God promised to keep me for all eternity. There is no room for complacency in that relationship. I must believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and want what he is doing in me, with me, more than I want debauchery, complacency. Deuteronomy 6:5-9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Lest we forget, kids. Lest we forget, we are hunted by complacency. We are hunted by the enemy. He hates you, and he loves it when you make the decision to limit yourself in any way, or even better, to destroy yourself and what God had meant for you to be. Fight it. Revolution, evolution, I've said it before. Revolt against yourself and evolve. Make the choice. Remember how dangerous this thing is. Let's put it in day-to-day context. Be complacent about fixing the brakes on your car? Not good. Be complacent about taking vitamins every day and eating good food? Not good. Be complacent about paying payroll tax, income tax, sales tax? Not good. Be complacent about locking your car or your house? Not good. Be complacent about your good relationships or the life you have been given? Not good. Be complacent about the holy God Almighty. Stupid. 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 And yet, we've all deployed it, myself included. I pray with you this morning. In his holy name, we pray. Lord, send strong angels to light the path and keep us safe and strong. In Jesus' name, we humbly request to continue what the Lord Jesus has begun. A new creation in Christ for each of us. Chapter 37, Complacency 2024, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So be it. Amen, amen. Johnny, what do you say, buddy? Let's get rocking and rolling.